Hello, hello. Welcome back to the How to Life podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Dr. Laura Jagat, and right now you're listening to episode 103. Today we are talking about job satisfaction. Not so long ago, the way people approached their jobs was often stoically. They had a job, it provided sustenance, and that's just what they did every day for 40 years, whether they liked it or not. These days, that attitude has changed, and perhaps it's because it's so much more possible to work for yourself with all that the internet can provide for you. Finding jobs is easier, all sorts of creative jobs are possible. But even so, there's still the mindset of settling for less than what you want or accepting dissatisfaction because of fear or apathy. Or confusion, just not knowing how to go about it. I would like to bring a little clarity about this topic, how to know when it's time to switch jobs. Today, I'm speaking with attorney-turned-career coach, Jeremy Klein. He is the host of the podcast, Change Work Life, and he coaches clients on how to do just that. If you're feeling that it might be time for a change, this episode will help you identify the signs and give you the guidance to do so. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the How to Life podcast, and thank you very much for being here today.
Hello, Laura. It's an absolute delight to be here.
So we are talking about changing careers, how you go about that, why that even happens, and you have personal experience in this field. So before we begin, would you please just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you, what you were doing, and where you are now.
Sure. So I would describe myself at the moment as a transitioning lawyer and a transitioning coach. So I'm trying to transition out of being a lawyer and transition into being a coach. And this is a transition which has probably been going on for maybe 4 or 5 years, I think, since I sort of made the decision that I wasn't enjoying my career as a lawyer and I wanted to do something else. But I didn't really know what that was going to be. And I probably have spent the past 4 or 5 years figuring that out. I have my own podcast, which is all about changing career. And it's through that and meeting people through the podcast and getting coached myself through coaches I've met on the podcast that I have realized that what I think I really enjoy doing is coaching myself. And so I've very recently started doing that. I've got a handful of clients and I'm now in the process of trying to build that up to a stage where I can complete the transition.
Well, there's a lot of people I know who feel they want to change careers or they're very dissatisfied where they are. What are some of the reasons that people want to change work?
Fundamentally, it comes down to being dissatisfied with what you're doing. And there could be many, many different reasons for that. But at the root of it all is someone looks at what they're doing day in, day out, and starts to question, why am I doing this? Or maybe not even asking, why am I doing this? But start to have thoughts like, oh, I think I've got a cold coming on. Oh, well, that's not so bad. It means I get a few days off work. Or I spoke to someone on my podcast who it was quite dark, but they started talking with each other about, what happened if we were in a road accident? I mean, you know, not serious enough to cause serious permanent damage, but serious enough that we had to have a few weeks off work. You know, wouldn't that be a great break? And I think if people are starting to have thoughts like that, then it really is time to figure out whether you're in the right job for you or now it's time to make a change.
In your own personal experience of being a lawyer, is that something that you wanted to do? Did you choose it at first and were you excited about it and then burned out? Or were you kind of pushed into it maybe by your parents or were there some other reason?
It's a really interesting question. It wasn't something that I was pushed into by my parents. It was an idea that was suggested to me when I was at school by my best friend. There was definitely in the back of my mind the idea that I would be getting a job as some kind of professional. My dad was a biochemist, my mum was an accountant, and so, you know, that's what people did. They went to work and they did their jobs. And I don't know whether I went into being a lawyer imagining that it was going to be this amazing, fulfilling thing. Maybe I did to begin with. You know, my law degree was okay. It certainly trained you how to think. Great from that perspective. But the academic study of law, now I look back on it, I didn't find it as interesting as I might. And you could tell the people who did find it really that interesting because they were the ones who did really well and who found this sense of flow. Whereas for me, I was good enough at it that when I finished my degree, I got, you know, decent results. But it was never, wow, this is amazing. There's been a few high points, probably more than a few high points, but most of it has been, oh, this is okay. This is fine. And a general acceptance that that's what work was about. It was always going to be just fine. Never, wow, this is brilliant. I can't believe I get to do that.
I think in this day and age, a lot of people are not willing to settle for just fine, as opposed to people of my parents' generation, let's say, or beyond, where they would go to work and they would work their 40 years and then they would retire, and it never even dawned on them, or they just never acted on the fact that it's just okay. And I think it's a good thing that people want more from their careers. And it's not always going to be a passion all the time. You're not going to walk in every single day and say, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. This is exactly what I want to be doing. Although you want to have more of those days than not.
The coach part in me is immediately thinking, well, why not? Why can't every day be absolutely unbelievable? I mean, the fact is there are always going to be things in anything which you do, which you're going to find a little bit of a chore. So
sure,
you might be running your own business and it's brilliant and you love what you do, but you've still got to file your taxes and do all the admin. And yeah, okay, you can get as much help as you can with that. There's still always going to be those bits which kind of make you go, oh, I've got to do that now. But you're right, it's kind of minimizing those bits.
It's just like life in general. You don't have a home run day every single day. But for the most part, if you have general happiness and you're excited about waking up in the morning, you're on the right track. You want the same thing for your job as well, because it plays such a big role in your life. I wanted to ask you, what do you look for in a career? What factors are important in finding a career that brings value to your life?
The way I am approaching it with my coaching clients is I look broadly at three things. One is what you're good at, one is what you enjoy doing, and the third one is your values, which is a bit of a nebulous concept.
That is. A lot of people don't consider that because it's not something they think about and many don't know.
For me, that one was the real game changer. Many people have an idea of what their strengths are. You know when you're good at something, you know when you're not good at something. There's a gazillion and one exercises out there which you can do to figure out what your strengths are. And sometimes they can be quite surprising what the results are, or maybe they highlight things which you didn't realize were such an asset. But just because you're good at something doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to enjoy doing it. I've got quite a capacity for sort of putting up with things, but that's not to say I particularly enjoy it.
You had mentioned values. Can you define that a little bit more? What would be an example of something that meshes with your values, that's in agreement with your values?
Values was the thing that probably changed my outlook the most. So values are the things which we personally find important and which drive us. They are characteristics, I suppose you might say, of things which if we are acting out of alignment with those values, if we're failing to honor them, then it doesn't feel right. There's friction. You feel, oh, okay, this isn't right. I don't like this. What's going on here? Trying to label values is tricky. Not impossible, but tricky. I thrive having social connection and community. So talking to people, having random chats with people, whether it's on a podcast interview or in a coaching session or when I'm in the office or whatever, I absolutely thrive on that, which is interesting because I would characterize myself very much as an introvert. And you know, some people think of introverts as people who don't tend to do that sort of thing. But it's one of my top values, which came as something as a revelation to me, but did explain quite a lot about some of the things I'd tried which hadn't worked. For example, I briefly started a business in the podcast space, providing a transcription service for podcasters. And it was essentially scaling up what I already did for my own podcast. And I knew there was demand for it, and I knew I'd have customers. And so I started getting out there, had one or two clients, did a few of these things, and then stopped because I wasn't enjoying it. And I realized now, having been through the work on identifying what my values are, it was because there was very little social connection, this community. There was very little talking to people. So that was a great explainer to me about why that wasn't right for me. I still think it was a great business idea, just not right for me. Another big value of mine, which is very much playing into how I'm trying to do things, is freedom. You know, when you're in an office job, you're there from 8:30, 9 a.m. until 5:30, 6, whatever it is. And you've got your defined time where you've got to be doing whatever it is you're being paid to do. And I find that surprisingly frustrating. When I started going down this route and created some more time for myself, opening up the possibility of doing things like going to get my hair cut at 11 o'clock in the morning on a weekday rather than having to do it at the weekend, or just, you know, deciding at another time in the day, hey, you know what, I'm not really feeling it, I'm going to go for a half hour walk. For me, that's come up as something which is really important and is a big motivator for me why I'm going down this route of starting my own business. So those are two of my own top values. What I have learned from the work I've done so far is that everyone has different values. They are many and varied. They're absolutely not aspirational. They're not something that you think you should have. Oh, I should be this, or I should be that. They are what you are. Once you know what's important to you and how you work, then you stand a much better chance of finding something which will fit you. And so Yes. That's where the whole value piece fits in, along with the strengths and what you enjoy.
Continuing on with examples of value, for me, helping people is something that's very important to me. Also, honesty is extremely important to me. I'm honest, I'm open, I'm transparent. And I have been in positions where I had to, I don't know, omit the truth, and that did not work for me at all. So it's experiences like that where you can learn what is important to you, what you feel is moral and just and meshes with your own personality and your values. I know that many people might not really know what that means. So hopefully these examples that you and I gave might resonate with people and help them look at their own lives and say, is what I am doing congruent with my values?
And you've touched on something which is a great way of uncovering your values, and that's looking at times where you've been unhappy or upset or angry. In a similar vein, one of my important values is respect. And so there have been times where I've been in meetings and, you know, maybe I was quite junior and I was with someone quite senior, and they'd say something which jarred me. It felt like I was being slightly sort of condescended to. I'm not sure if that's an expression, but it made me a bit cross. And that has pointed to the fact that there's got to be mutual respect in everything I do.
Yes. A lot of people will put up with things because they think they have to, or they don't know that that is not something that is normal or works with them. And that also leads to people staying in dissatisfying jobs or environments for a long period of time. And I want to ask about why else would someone stay longer than they want to in any situation? Fear? Pressure?
Fear is probably the biggest one, and you can break that down a little bit. Even when you're not necessarily in a very happy position, there is comfort in familiarity, and fear of the unknown, fear of change is a thing. You kind of think, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm not happy now, but is it a case of better the devil you know? So what happens if I move and it's twice as bad, 10 times as bad? Do I want to take that risk where here it's, you know, not great, but it's manageable? And I guess allied to that, there's fear of failure. What happens if I make a change and it doesn't work out? There's fear of the opinions of others. Talking my circumstance, you know, I've been a lawyer for 20 years and I'm thinking of jacking it in, all in, and going into something completely different. It's perfectly understandable that people might say to you, what on earth are you doing? Why on earth would you throw away all that experience to do this? Are you mad? And, you know, some people are going to be fearful, perhaps, of those sorts of reactions, especially from loved ones, family and friends. And I think sometimes people don't necessarily believe that they've got as many options as they have. And by that, I mean that you might get someone who is at a stage of life where they have the commitments. They've got a family, they've got a mortgage, they've got all that sort of thing. They've got a lifestyle which is reasonably comfortable. And the limiting belief is that the only way to sustain all that is to stay doing what you're doing. And if you change, you're never going to find something which is as well paid and as well rewarded and all that kind of thing. And so there's definitely a fear there as well.
I want to make clear that this interview is not to encourage people to just jump ship without a plan or without a lifeboat. In your case, and in my case, there was some thought before a change occurred. It's important to have an exit plan, one that is well thought out and considerate of everyone around, including family members or employers of where you're working now, not putting them before you, but to consider all of these things as well. And in order to do it, you have to have some courage. How do you find the courage to make this move? What do you think?
I completely agree with that. It's moving at whatever pace is comfortable for you and allowing yourself the opportunity to explore and to get curious. People might start to contemplate a change of career and think, oh no, but I'm going to dive off into the deep end. I'm going to go into the great unknown. I'm going to do something completely different. Well, hang on a minute. You don't need on day one to hand in your notice and then immediately start looking for jobs. You've got an opportunity to start the exploration, to start to ask yourself, what if, or how could that be different, or what could things look like? And that's really a starting point I would recommend for everyone. Start with a bit of self-exploration. An analogy which I absolutely love is when you go into an enormous shopping mall and you could just go through an entrance and start wandering around, or you could go to one of those maps, which is usually at the entrance or near one of the escalators, and it's got a nice big red dot on it which says you are here, and then from there you can plot out your route. So I always start there. It's where are you at the moment? And as I mentioned before, I do that in terms of your strengths, what you enjoy doing, and your values. And then once you know where you are, once you've got that clarity of the you are here, then you can start to figure out what you need, what's going right with what you're doing at the moment, what needs work, what might those changes be. It might be an entirely different change of career. It might mean doing what you're doing, but doing it in a different environment, one that's more aligned with your own personal culture and values. Or it could be internal change. It might be mindset shifts. I'm working with one client who, before she came to see me, she had already changed career. She'd gone from qualifying and working as an architect to starting a career in marketing. And when she first came to me, I thought, what do you want to speak to me for then? You've already been through this transition. But what was important for her was figuring out, now she's made that change, how can she make a success of it? And so we've been doing a lot of work on things like her own mindset, her own exploration, figuring out what's possible for her, getting over, I don't know if you could call it imposter syndrome, of sort of effectively going back to square one. And so there's as much value in that internal work as there is in making changes to your own working environment.
And coaching is a great way to help you sort of bridge that gap. I know that it worked for you, and that's what you are transitioning to now. So will you talk a little bit about your coaching practice?
Sure. There was a long time where I was saying, oh no, I don't want to do coaching. No, it doesn't interest me at all. I thought that coaching was going to be people coming to me complaining about their jobs and me saying, oh, you should do this, oh, you should do that, oh, you should do the other. And what I've realized now is that coaching isn't about telling people what to do, telling people if you do this, then everything will work out for the good. It's much more about being there as a sounding board, being there as someone who can ask questions, who can challenge assumptions, being there as someone who can create space for someone to explore these things and guide them down the path as they do that. It's fundamentally, if anyone works with me, most of my coaching sessions will be me asking questions, including things like, what makes you say that? Tell me more about that. That's how things get drawn out. So it's the job of the person who's being coached to make the decisions, to take the action. But the coach provides the support and the tools and the space that someone can do that. And that notion of space as well. I mean, how often do we really allow time for ourselves and our own thoughts?
So a coach is really a sounding board. When you have a motivated person who wants to make a change, it's important to have somebody that you can just bounce ideas off, so that the person who is being coached can work things out, get those ideas and questions out of their head, and then you can bounce them back to them by asking certain questions, directing them, making them perhaps think in a different way that they hadn't thought of. Are there a few exercises that you like that you could recommend that the listeners might want to try to start working out what their values are, what's important to them as far as career?
If I may, I have a couple of exercises on my website.
Oh, good.
As good a starting point as any. Yeah, I've got two exercises, one which encourages you to look back at what you have done. So previous jobs, previous positions of responsibility, and figuring out what was good, what was not so good, what were the peak moments. And then the second exercise is kind of turning it around and looking forwards and thinking, in 5 years' time, if someone came up to me and asked me how things were, and I said, life's brilliant, couldn't be better, then what would life look like? In order to say that, in terms of values, the first exercise in particular is a good way of starting to figure out what those are and start to draw conclusions from there.
You had asked me earlier what my goal was for this interview, and it is to let people know who may be feeling squished in their job or they want to change, that they're not alone, that there are options, and that it's not scary. There are ways to make the transition very smooth. So would you please tell us where we can find you, your website, your podcast, and everything.
So the podcast's called Change Work Life. The website, very simple, it's changeworklife.com, and that's all one word, changeworklife.com. And if you're interested in the exercises, they're at changeworklife.com/happy. So H-A-P-P-Y. Or if you just go to changeworklife.com, there's a tab at the top, which is called something like Find Career Happiness. There's also a pop-up, which will encourage you to find the exercises as well. So you can't really miss them.
Jeremy, thank you so very much for spending time to talk to us about this. It's a very important topic. And I really appreciate you and everything you had to offer to us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's been an honor.
Did any of you relate? I hope that this interview helped you know that you're not alone and it is possible to make a wise and thoughtful change if that's what you really want to do. As you can tell, Jeremy is very generous and knowledgeable. Check out changeworklife.com. You will find this to be a great resource and a wealth of information. You can find out more about Jeremy Klein and Change Work Life in the show notes, howtolife.com/103. And I have some other podcast recommendations that support this one. Of course I do. Let's start with fear. Listen to episode 17, How to Overcome Fear, and episode 97, The Fear of Change. Next, if you could, what job would you switch to? Well, first, what are your values? What's your purpose? Episode 60 will show you how to discover your path. You will also love episode 74, How to Design a Career That Aligns with Who You Are. My guest's happy career formula will help you find your perfect job. And if that new job or side hustle is online, then episode 22 and 82 will teach you how to start an online business. Everything will be in the show notes. And again, that's howtolife.com/103. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you would like to see a snippet of this interview, you can watch that on my YouTube channel, How to Life with Dr. Laura Jaggett. If you have any questions, please let me know. You can send an email to drlj@howtolife.com or a direct message on YouTube. Instagram and Facebook are @LauraJaggett_howtolife. That is a wrap for today. I will meet you here again next time. You have great strengths and wonderful gifts to give this world. You can better deliver them when you are feeling happy and satisfied. Seek out the best for you so that you can give your best to others. Life is good, and you are doing great. You got this.